we're continuing our journey through the book of Colossians. If you got your Bible, go ahead and Colossians chapter 3 is where we'll be at today. If you don't have a Bible here at Grace Point Church, we always say you're going to need a Bible here. We lead, teach, and preach from it. So if you want to own one, we have them in English and Spanish up here at these front tables out at Connect Point as well. I'm sure you got a smartphone. You can download YouVersion. It's on there. But if you've missed the past couple of weeks, you can go back and listen to it or just read it. But we've been learning about these new kingdom household codes, that the gospel changes everything. It changes the house as well and the structure and roles within that. We looked at, a couple weeks ago, we learned about wives and what the call to submit is. Last week, we looked at husbands and the call of responsibility. And so today, we're going to be talking about children and parenting. So we're going to talk about kids and parenting today. I know that when you talk about parenting, when you talk about children, it can be a great source of joy. It can bring a lot of happiness. I also know that it can bring a lot of pain, either how we were parented, or perhaps you're in a season right now longing for children and not had the opportunity to have children yet. And so just want you to know the Lord is gracious, and we ask that the Lord just be with you and comfort you during that. And I also know when it comes to parenting, we as parents, any parents in here, we've made mistakes, haven't we? And when we talk about parenting, some of us want to rewind and like, I wish I had known some of this stuff years ago. All we can do is just rely upon the grace and the mercy of Jesus and forgiveness of our kids as well. But here's what's interesting. One of my favorite, definitions of parenting is by Dan Doriani. It says this: parenting is the process in which bigger sinners attempt to convince little sinners to mend their wicked ways. I think that's it. Now, here's the reality. You sit in a message like this, you're like, great, this message is not for me. I don't have kids. Well, let's do a study. Let's do a quick poll. By raising of hand and keep it up in the air, who in here has a child or a child on the way? Raise your hand. Okay, keep them up. Who in here has any kids in their family? Raise your hand. Okay. Who in here has a friend with a kid? Raise your hand. Okay. Who has ever seen a kid? Raise your hand. And who has ever been a kid? Keep them up. Okay, cool. So, okay, cool. You put your hands down. It covers everybody. And here's the reason why I say this. We've said this over and over here at Grace Point Church. It takes a whole church to raise a whole Christian. And so when it comes to parenting, I'm going to argue and I'm going to beg that we need one another. Don't go at it alone. Don't let pride kick in of like, these are my kids, I'll take care of myself. No, we do this together. We need each other's prayers. We need each other's grace. We need each other's wisdom and counseling. We need one another. And the reality is, the good thing is, Jesus loves and likes kids. Disciples, not so much so. You ever notice that? The kids would come around Jesus and disciples like, get away from here. And like Jesus is like, no, that's cool. Jesus said this in Matthew 18. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Yikes. And so Jesus loves children. He's the protector of children as well. All right, let's jump into our text, Colossians chapter 3. We have two verses to deal with today, and I'm going to be bouncing around the Bible quite a bit. And so Colossians 3, you guys there? Everybody ready? All right, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. So it's a very straightforward verse, and basically it just means do it. Let's pray. I mean, we can just end right there. That's it. But now, notice in the previous weeks, it said wives submit. It used the word submit. Obedience is not submission. Submitting is a choice. It's voluntary. Obedience is not. It's commanded right here. Children, and what he's talking about in the context, children who still live at home, children, obey your parents. And the word obey in the original language means to listen and be under. Like you're putting yourself under someone and you're listening. You ever had your parents tell you, listen to me? It's like, I hear you. They're not saying, do you hear me? They're saying, do what I tell you to do. And so it means to obey. Why? The text says right here, why? It pleases God. This is a good thing. God, this is the order. This is the household kingdom order in which God has created for children to obey their parents. And then we get to the next verse, verse 21. Fathers, and in the original language, you can go over to Hebrew, the book of Hebrews as well. You don't have to go there. But when it uses the same word, it sometimes puts parent in there as well. So it means father, or it can be parent. Do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Now, I think he put father in there for a reason, because in that time period, there was a Roman law called the power of the father. And the Roman law was this: the father could do anything he wanted with his children. He could sell them, he could turn them into slaves, he could even take their life. And so when you see Paul's writing right here, he's like, hey, fathers, you need to love your kids well. So much so that you don't provoke your children. And the idea of provoking your children is you make life miserable for them. He says, don't do that. Don't do that at all. Why? They will become discouraged. And the word discouraged there means that you will break their spirit. And not a good way. You'll break their spirit. So these two verses, as we look at them, obviously they're talking about parenting. So today we're going to talk about parenting. Now, I am no expert parent. I've been parenting for 30 years. I have four children, and we've had four children in three different decades. I have four grandchildren and one on the way, which grandchildren are amazing. Your own kids are better. But grandchildren are amazing because you get to, you know, get them all hyped up, sugared up, caffeined up, and send them home. It's amazing. And you don't have to raise them. It's great. But here's what I want to do. I want to walk through some various texts within the Bible that are pointing to our text today. And I want to give us some helps. I want to make today just like uber practical. Now, hear me in this, and don't miss this. Principles and practicals are fine and dandy, but apart from Jesus, they have no power. And so everything you hear today needs to be anchored in Jesus. Without Jesus, you got nothing going for you. Paul David Tripp, he said this. He said, if rules and regulations had the power to change the heart and life of your child, rescuing your child from himself and giving him a heart of submission and faith, Jesus would have never needed to come. So rules and regulations doesn't work. They need Jesus, just like you and I need Jesus. So what I'm going to do today is I want to give us the goal of parenting, and I want to help support the goal. So what is the goal of Christian parenting? And if you're not a Christian, glad you're here. I want you to lean in and listen to this as well. But what is the goal of Christian parenting? And here's my thought. Here's the thought. The goal of Christian parenting is this: to raise adults who love Jesus. Yeah. I mean, isn't that our endeavor? It's like, I want my kids to love Jesus. And so I did something really holy. I created an acronym for us today. Because you know, for preachers, if there's an acronym or if it rhymes, it's holy. That's a joke. And so I'm going to walk through the word adults and give us some little helps along the way. Sound good? All right, let's start with the A. Well, you say, yeah, now you wait. You start with the letter A is authority. How do we raise children to be adults? Because that's what we want. We want them to be adults who love Jesus. They have to understand authority. Look back at our verse. Colossians 3:20 says this: children, obey your parents. Parents, your role has been given to you by God. God is the ultimate authority in all things, and he is somewhat, as you being the parents of the household, he's given you borrowed authority. You should have authority over your children. Proverbs 23 says it like this: listen to your fathers who gave you life. Hey, were you raised by the parents who says, I brought you into this world, I'll... Okay, me too. Cool. Just make sure. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. And so the reality is, parents, you're in a seat of authority over your children. Kids need you to be their parents. They need you to be the adult in the room. They do not need to be the adult in the relationship. So some of us, we need to hear this. And I love you so much, I feel like I just need to say this, but we got to hear this. You might want to write it down. You ready? Grow up. I don't mean to be offensive, but we need to grow up. And like, we need to come on with it and grow up and be the adult in the room. That's what we need to be. Now, listen to me in this. Yes, be goofy. Yes, be silly. You come to our house, we have a lot of fun. It's a lot of goofy and silly. But at the end of the day, what kids need most is they need you to be the parent. There's this phenomenon I've noticed for a while now to where parents don't want to be the parents, they want to be the peer. I am my child's best friend. As an adult, that sounds great. When your children are adult, that's wonderful. But I love you. But when they're at home, they don't need you to be their best friend. They need you to be mom and dad. They need you to be the grown-up in the room. Guess what? Newsflash, they've got friends. And I know it's so desperately, we want to be cool mom. We want to be cool dad. I know we do. And we like, but you don't understand, Ty. I am cool mom. I'm cool dad. I'm hip. As soon as you say hip, it disqualifies you completely. But I know words like no cap and sus. And like, yeah, you're done for. Like, as soon as you try it, it's just, no. Like, they need you to be parent. Perhaps the reason why we struggle with this is because of our own insecurities or inabilities to develop healthy adult relationships. And so they're the ones in the house, like, we're going to develop an adult relationship with them. That's not helpful for them. That's not helpful for their development. They need you to be the authority. And then, as they keep growing, they need you to continually, before they leave the home, be that authority. Sometimes we think, I'll just raise the little kids, and when they become teenagers, they won't want me to be around them anyway, so I'll just hands off. No, 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 no. Anyone in here raising teenagers right now? God, have mercy on you. It's great. No, it's great. It's great. That's right. It's great. So what, they might not act like it, but they do want you in the room with them. They do want you around them. They still want you to be that authority. With that, they need other authorities in their life called backup singers. Think of your family like a band, and your mom, dad, grown-up guardian, you're the lead singers, but they need backup singers as well in this band. You ever like tell your kids something 1,000 times and they don't listen to it, but then one other person comes along and says the exact same thing, and they come to you like, mom, dad, did you know? And you're like, oh, are you kidding me? I've told you that. But if you're insecure, you'll get upset. If you're wise, you're like, thanks be to God. And so we need to create a structure to where there are other adults in our child's life speaking these things. That's why we do a community group model here. Like our kids from birth on up are in somewhat a community group. And they have wise, loving, godly adults speaking into their lives right now back in our areas right there. And we need to create that structure more and more as people being the backup vocalist for our kids to hear about Jesus and hear about, you know, the things we're trying to teach and tell them. But here's the caveat. You're going to expect your children to be under authority, but you better be under authority as well. Like, I'm telling you, like, if they watch you not have God as your ultimate authority and not sit under God's word, and when it comes to a church structure, not sit under elder preacher or elder pastors, or they see you disrespecting the government and disobeying the rules, not the authority that God has placed above us, then why in the world would we tell them, hey, you trust God, you listen to God, you listen to me, when we're not doing it as well? And so our kids need authority. Got it? All right, D, discipline. This is a tough topic, discipline. There's so many books out there. You've read blogs, you listen to podcasts. There's so many different styles and ways. But here's the reality. Our kids need discipline. They must be discipline. Discipline's hard to talk about as well because the way we might have been disciplined as a child. By the way, I'm 48. Anyone 48 or older? All right. How many times do you remember your parents asking you, hey, how do you feel? Okay, cool. Or, hey, you remember going to your parents and be like, I'm thirsty. What'd they say? Swallow your spit. I mean, like things like that. You kids don't know how easy you got it now. There's a water hose outside. Okay. It's hot, Dad. So, I mean, think about it. When it comes to being parented, we've been parented in different ways. Some of us had parents that were like just, hands off, kind of like flower child mom, hippy-dippy dad. They didn't want to harsh your vibe or anything like that. So you didn't have any rules or anything like that. We kind of ran around like a pack of dogs. Some of us on the other side might have had real rigid parents or even harsh parents. In some of our homes, there might have been yelling. There might have been cussing. There might have been harsh words towards us. There might have been a breaking of spirit. And so here's what we do as parents. We usually swing the other way. Insert helicopter parents. There's a new term. What's a new term? It's not helicopter. What is it? Say it really loud. Bulldozer parent. I like that one. Throttled down, baby. Yeah. But here's the reality. We need to think about how we were parented, and we need to think how we're going to parent, because children need discipline. Proverbs 13:12 says it like this. Whoever spares the rod hates his son. How strong is that? Meaning, if there is no discipline, there's hatred. But he who does loves. So see, the opposite, loves him, is diligent to discipline him. And so the point of discipline is that we're trying to form and shape. Discipline is not for ultimate control. It's not. Paul David Tripp's got a brother by the name of Ted Tripp. He's got a lot of great parenting books out there. He says this: some parents have no noble goal at all. They simply want to control their children. These parents want their children to mind, to behave, to be good, to be nice, which sounds great. They remind their children how things were when they were youngsters. Frequently, they employ the tried and true methods of discipline, whatever their parents did that seemed to work. They want children who are manageable. They want them to do the right thing, whatever that is at the moment. The bottom line is to control their kid. But the control is not directed towards specific character development objectives. The concern is personal convenience and public appearance. Oh, you probably heard this growing up. Don't you go out there and act a fool. Don't you leave this house. Yeah. Some of you hear this and you're like, that's right. That's why I don't discipline. I just want my kid to figure out who they are, and I'm kind of just like, I want their will to be free to do whatever, and I just want to affirm them and make sure that they just do what they want to do. Well, I don't think that's helpful either. I think we're called to love our children. To love our children is to discipline them. Hebrews 12 says this: it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Whew. Big deal. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they discipline us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he, God, disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained. Notice this is later. Hold that. So what is discipline? Here's my running definition of discipline. Discipline is discomfort in the lives of a child in order to bring about repentance of sin and restoration of relationship between God, parents, and others. It's causing some discomfort in their lives. And anyone in here have multiple children? You don't discipline them the same, do you? Oh, no. They're just different. You got to figure out what they love, and you have to go after what they love. What do you love? You love Baxter, your dog? I'm going after it. But when it comes to discipline, we need to make sure we're disciplining sin and not their humanness. Let me illustrate it this way. You ever been around a little kid and a little kid grabs a cup of milk and then spills the milk? Did they do something rebellious there? No. Did they do something sinful? No. Have you ever seen a little child's hands? Like little sausages there. They're usually greasy. Like, hey, let's just be honest. Little kids' hands are gross. Why do they always smell like Play-Doh? There's no Play-Doh in the house. What does that smell? We don't know. We don't know. But you're looking for rebellion. You're looking for sin. That's what we discipline. Not just accidents. Not just humanity. You ever been around a teenager? Teenagers have the propensity to do dumb stuff. You were a teenager, you did. I won't name which one of my child did this, but a couple summers ago, him and his buddies thought it'd be cool that they went out behind a Krispy Kreme donut shop, and they dared my son to eat a Krispy Kreme donut, the custard-filled one, out of the July hot summer dumpster in the middle of the night. He did it. You ever look at a teenager and go, why did you do that? And they say, I don't know. But why don't you know that? I don't know. They just don't know. So I was like, I'm going to discipline him, but I didn't have to because he literally was sick for 3 days. The Lord works in mysterious ways. So just saying, I didn't have to do anything. That's just dumb. But back to the Hebrews text. Remember he talks about later, because discipline is a buy now, a pay now or pay later situation, isn't it? You discipline now or it's going to be tough later. That's how it works. And if you're a young parent, write that down. It's going to cost. And I'll be the old guy in the room. We are living in a time and a culture where we're reaping a lack of discipline of children now. And I'm not, please hear me in this. I'm not slighting a generation. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about somebody else. I'm not slighting you. But like, again, I'll be the old guy in the room. When I went to school, there were no metal detectors. There were no police officers. There was none of that stationed there. Our culture has changed a little bit. And so we're reaping that now. And that same is in our home. We discipline now or it's going to be tougher later on. But that's how life works. Like when we discipline ourselves now, it frees us. That's what discipline does. Discipline frees us. If you discipline yourself now to learn a sport, it frees you later on to be good at it. If you discipline yourself now to learn an instrument, it frees you later on to play it. If you discipline yourself now to run, later on you can run a marathon. I don't know why you would, but you could if you want to. And if you discipline your children now, it frees them up later. And it helps them to be free to follow Jesus and free to understand how the world works and flourish. It's freeing in that. And I'll even add one to it. It frees them up as adults to where you can have a really good relationship with them, Lord willing, because of proper discipline. Never abuse, nothing like that. So how do you discipline your children? I'm not going to give you a method. I'm not going to give you a way. Here's what I think you should do. If you need help when it comes to disciplining your children, who's doing it really well around you? That's what I would ask you. Like, look around. That means you're going to have to get people in your life and say, okay, what are they doing? Can I have them over for dinner and ask them a lot of questions? Can I take them up for a cup of coffee and be like, how did you do this? What does this look like? And how can I live that out as well? See someone who has children. You're like, hey, I can tell they've been disciplined in a right way, in a grace-filled way, in a Jesus way. Like, I want to see that as well. And then I would also say, go read some really good books. Paul David Tripp and Ted Tripp, those are two good authors. So go get in community, go talk to someone, go meet with people and ask them a lot of questions and read some books. The Bible's got plenty of information as well. Now your pushback may be, well, that's just too hard. I don't want to do that. Then here's what you should do. If that's you, like, that's just too hard. I don't want to do that. Here's what you should do. Repent. I love you. Repent. Your kids are worth it. They're worth it. And so like, I don't know if anyone told you the fine print on these kids. It's hard work. It's real hard work. And so it's worth it. So let's go. Hello? Sorry. All right, let me keep going. So we have an A, we have a D. I'm going to take the U and L, put it together because I get to do what I want to do now. And so the U and L go together as unconditional love. Your kids need unconditional love and lots of it. Why? Because this is the love of God to us. Romans 5:8 says this, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus didn't like die for us once we got our act together, once we got everything going right in our lives. No. While we were still sinners, this is unconditional love. Our children need to know that we love them no matter what. Now, don't answer out loud, but I want you to think of the blank. I want to fill in the blank. Don't answer out loud. Think of it this way. I will stop loving my child if they blank, and I pray nothing's in there. Why? Because we're loved unconditionally by God. We need to demonstrate that unconditional love to them as well. That means we still discipline. That means, parents, there may be seasons where you love them, but you don't like them. Okay, some of y'all have been parenting for a while. Okay, cool. Yeah, all right. But it's unconditional love. How else can we teach them the love of God if we're not showing them? I mean, my Bible tells me that nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Romans 8, and they need to see that as well. So how do I teach them unconditional love? Are you ready? Here's how you do it. You need to hear the gospel over and over and over. You need to be reminded of the gospel over and over and over. You need to rehearse the gospel over and over and over. You need to respond to the gospel over and over and over. You need people around you singing the gospel over you. You need to be reading stories from the Bible pointing to the good news of Jesus. Why? Because listen to me, we forget we're loved sometimes. It's one of the most powerful things. It becomes white noise if you're not careful. One of the most powerful things we can hear is God loves you. He loves you. And so we need to hear that, have that washed over us. So we wash that over our children as well. Because if not, if we only love them when they're lovable, if we only love them when they're performing well, then it's conditional love. And when it comes time for Jesus, they'll see Jesus conditionally loving them as well. And so instead of working from God's love, they'll be always working for God's love. And some of you know this because that might have been the house you were raised in, that you're always working for your parents' love instead of from your parents' love. That's how we learn these things. And so we need them to know that they're working from our love, not for it, because it's the same way with God. Okay? T, you ready? Still with me? Training. Our kids need training. Proverbs 22:6. And as I read this proverb, I want you to understand how genres of the Bible work. Every genre of the Bible works a little bit different. Proverbs is in the wisdom literature. And so this, we want to take this as a clad iron promise, but Proverbs don't typically work that way. It's a generalized statement. And here it goes. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So what is this telling us here? That children need training. Have you ever had a job that you didn't get trained for, you just got thrown on it? Like I'm doing it right now. Okay. Yeah. Why do you need training? We need training because I'm going to use this word. I want to use it in the right context. We need training because we're ignorant, meaning I lack information. So we need to be trained on what to do. And so newsflash, children don't naturally know how to be adults. They need to be trained. And so we're the ones that are going to train them. Listen, children are wild, man. They're wild. They don't know a whole lot of things, and we have to train them how to do things, and we have to train them how to be and how to be around people in social settings. You ever been around a toddler before? Toddler's about the scariest thing going. Toddlers are straight up gangster. I'm just telling you. Like a toddler will stand up, look you in the eye, and poop their pants right in front of you. Who does that? A toddler will punch you in the face and not run away, but lean in like, what's up? Have you been around a toddler? They got to learn some things. They run it, they're like cats. They just run out into the street. Like you got to do something with them. They're awkward. And so we need to train. So here's the big question. How do we train them? Or with what do we train them with? And you know my answer is going to be, right? You know what I'm going to say, yeah? Here comes the Bible. Like we train them with the Bible. They need to learn life from the scriptures. So that may mean, parents, that you need to learn the scriptures more and more. You need to understand what good doctrine is. You need to understand how the gospels all throughout the Bible, how Jesus is the hero of every story in the Bible. We need to understand, all right, now how do I massage that into life? How can we watch television and movies together and I can show them a gospel narrative in most television and TV shows? You ever notice that? The gospel story's in everything. Here's how most shows go. Everything's great. Something blows up. We need a hero. Hero saves the day, right? Did I not just describe every Marvel movie? Nailed it. That's how it works. That's the gospel. That's showing you, that's what, everything's great, garden. Sin blow it up. We need a hero, Jesus. Jesus is gonna save the day. But we need to have normally and naturally as we walk, as we go about our lives, as we sit at our dinner tables, how do we help them understand the world through the Bible? We want to train them through the Bible. One of the things we've been doing together is at our dinner tables. So we eat dinner together and then we push the plates back and we've been reading this together. It's called The Biggest Story Bible Storybook. It's great. It's got like all these big stories of the Bible in order, and it connects Jesus. It's got beautiful artwork, and it doesn't matter if you're an adult or a little kid. You can understand it. It's got a prayer at the end. We absolutely love going through this together. And the point of it is, somehow, some way, I know I'm going to train them for life. I want them to understand life through the Bible. If you teach them about God and teach them about the Bible, they will learn life. But if you flip that, I'll teach them about life and let them figure out God and Bible later. It's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. I'm still trying to flesh this out. And so bear with me if this doesn't make sense, but I'm going to do my best to help make sense. One of the big ways we can train our children comes to dependency. And what we think is good and what we're good at doing is that we want our kids to depend on us, right? For life, they depend upon us when they're little, yeah? Yeah. Somebody's got to feed them. And so they depend on us. And what we think we're doing them a service by as they grow older, putting the dependence upon them. And so what happens is, if we're not careful, when we do that, one thing we're doing, we're creating a world full of little gods, because they're becoming like the center of the universe and all that. But two, what happens is when they are dependent upon themselves, they become self-sufficient and autonomous. And that's probably most of our struggling sin, is we're self-sufficient and autonomous. And when the idea of the gospel comes into their view, they're like, why do I need a savior? I can do all this on my own. And so it's the goal of parenting then has to be, I don't want to transfer their dependence upon me to them. I want to transfer their dependence upon me to God. Does that make sense? I've really been trying to flesh this out in my head. And so as we do that, but they've got to see it in us. And so the training that they're seeing is they're seeing that we're actually dependent upon God as well. Because if we're self-sufficient and autonomous on our own, fixing all of our own problems and never running to Jesus, what do you think they're going to do as well? So we want them to be dependent upon God. Second thing with that is, we want to teach our children there is just one God. Just one God. And I'm not just talking about theologically from the Bible. I'm talking about practically in our lives. Because if we're not careful, here's what we do. And like, I just know we do this. Here's what we do. We come to church and we sing to Jesus and we learn the scriptures and we partake of communion and we fellowship and we do all those great things and we'll say, hooray, Jesus. And then we walk out of here and live a completely different life. And what our kids are seeing is like, okay, Jesus is a God there. But Monday through Saturday, I have a sports God. Or I have the television God. He's always on at night. We love to sit around and worship him. Or the phone God. And we start having multiple gods in our life and not Jesus ruling over everything. TV's not bad. Sports not bad. Phones are not bad. Not saying that whatsoever. I'm just saying, how can he be the center of everything? We're teaching our children, if we're not careful, that God is not God of all. He's just God of some, if we're not careful. What would it look like if we were to rearrange our lives in such a way to where Jesus was just at the center of everything we do? Not just like on Sunday, but like, no, we really follow him. We really love him. We really depend upon him. Times are tough, we call out on him. Times are good, we praise him. What would it look like to do that? Parents, we can't take our kids somewhere we're just not going ourselves. Look back at our Colossians text. Colossians 3:21 says this. Fathers, parents, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. I want to be gentle as I say this, but I'm going to tell you, here's two ways. You want to discourage your kids, two ways. Here's how you do it. Two ways. You want to break their spirit, two ways. Number one, neglect Jesus. Neglect Jesus. Like if you're saying, I'm a Christian and I love Jesus, but like Jesus gets a little play here and everything gets sacrificed, or Jesus gets sacrificed for everything where you're just neglecting Jesus, it's going to confuse our children. They'll be so confused. Like that, like I thought Jesus was our God, but everything else looks like our God. We sacrifice our God for everything. Neglect Jesus will discourage them. Second thing like this, and I love you, and I know some of you might be in a place right now of like, well, this has already happened. There's grace for you as well. Please see, there's grace in this. But the second thing, you really want to discourage your children, neglect your marriage. Neglect your marriage. That'll do it. Your children need to see that mommy loves daddy and daddy loves mommy. They must see that. Above all, outside of Christ, above them. Yes, there are times we sacrifice for our children, but if we sacrifice our marriage, and here's the phenomenon I've seen, and you've probably seen this played out as well. People are married for 20 plus years, and all of a sudden, they get divorced. Why? And you start looking at the reason why. It's typically when the kids have moved out and moved on, because we've been centered around them the whole time. We got to this end of 20, 30 years, we don't know one another. We're living with a stranger, and like, I don't even know if I love and like you anymore. I haven't been around you in forever. And we're and our kids, it gives them such security. So if you want to, if you like brass tacks, like how do I train my kids? Don't neglect Jesus and don't neglect your marriage. That'd be the two things I'd tell you. Make sense? You feel the heaviness of that? There's a reason why. There's a reason why. All right, let me give you the last one. Here we go. And by the way, if you're like, man, that's what I've been doing, it's a brand new day today. Turn. Like that's repent is not, we always think repent's bad. No, repent is beautiful. It's refreshing to the soul. It just means to turn. You found a new way to go. Turn. Like turn to Jesus. Like I'm really gonna take Jesus serious. Turn to back to your marriage. Like, hey, we've not really invested in one another. We've not really been together. Like we need to, you know, get together with other people and really shore up this marriage. Today's the day. All right, let me give you the last one. S. See, I can spell adult. S. Stewardship. Stewardship. Here it comes. You are not the owner of your children. You're just a steward. Psalm 127:3 says this, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward." Okay, question. Look at the text. Children are what? And heritage is something handed to you. Who are children from? So they're not ours. They're of the Lord's. And so we need to act like stewards. This is a stewardship issue. They are from God's. We are entrusted with them. And so now we need to be stewards of them. If we're owners, though, because that's how we live sometimes, here's one thing that'll really go sideways if we have an owner mentality. Our success will be based upon what our kid accomplishes. If they do good, I'm good. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with being proud of your children. Like when your kid takes that crayon out and makes a drawing and you have to lie to them like, oh, it's beautiful, and put it on your refrigerator. Don't act like you're not. Don't act like you're not. That's beautiful. It's like Picasso, except bad. We can be proud. However, we can't base everything upon that. We can't rise or fall. We can't live or die based on our kids. Are they achieving in life? And here's what we do. As owner parents, we base their success on things like academic performance, athletic achievements, musical abilities, social likability. And those are markers of like, how good of a parent am I really? And we'll shove them up in front of people like, look how amazing they are. Look how good they are. And there's nothing wrong with bragging on your kids somewhat. Nothing wrong with that somewhat. But here's the fact. We have to watch out for that. Why? Because listen to me. Here's a reality. Good parents can raise bad children. It is true. I've seen some of the most godly parents raise some of the most ungodly children. You probably have seen this as well. I've seen some of the most ungodly parents raise some of the most godly children. And so our view as stewards then, our success is not based upon fruitfulness per se, it's based on faithfulness. Can you see the difference in that? Give me a little nod. Does that make sense? Like you can see the difference of like, hey, I'm gonna be faithful to the Lord with these children. Why? They're his. I'm gonna steward them well. I'm gonna be faithful to get, you know, the Bible around them as much and get people around them as much and speak wisdom into their life and show them I'm confessing, repenting sinner as well. I'm gonna do all these things. I'm gonna do everything I do to bring them to a good church and to help them to belong. I'm gonna do all those things. It's like their heart. I'm gonna put as much kindling around their heart as I can. But at the end of the day, the Lord has got to strike the fire. I can't. So I'll be faithful. Sometimes that's all we can hang our hat on is like, I was faithful. I was not perfect. I was faithful. So that's it. We want to raise adults to love Jesus. So at the end of the past 2 weeks, I've been leading out with questions. And so I put some questions out here for you. Question number one. Where do I need help from God and others? And you see the authority, discipline, unconditional love, training, stewardship. Maybe there was one or two, like I really feel dinged on this. Or maybe your past parenting, this is an area to where you can help share wisdom to other people as well. Like, hey, here's some success we've had. I can share this with other people. But where do you need help from God, from others? What are you gonna do about it? Like take somebody out and ask a lot of questions. But if you ask a lot of questions, all I ask is you do this. Put some of it in practice. Question number two, what action is God calling me to? Like it's good to hear, but we want to be doers of the word as well. Is there an action? Maybe there's confession or repentance. Maybe I do want to go talk to someone. Maybe I do want to read a book. Maybe I do, like whatever that would make. Maybe I need to start disciplining kids more or training more, get the Bible or whatever that is. What is God calling you to do? Listen, I know when it comes to parenting, I know when it comes to us being parented, and us parenting, it can cause a lot of pain. It can cause a lot of grief. It can make us feel shame. It can make us feel guilt, shoulda, woulda, coulda, and all that. today's a new day. And all we can do is just, for lack of better terms, belly flop on the grace of God. And just ask for his forgiveness and ask for his help and get other people around our lives. So, all right, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna pray for us. And then we're gonna go to the Lord's table together. We'll sing a song, benediction. And then Pastor Terrence is gonna stay and pray for us afterwards. So if you'd like to stay and be prayed for, praying for our families, praying for our kids, praying for our parenting, praying for our grandparenting, praying for all that. If you'd like to stay after, we would love for you to do that. Pastor Terrence praying over us. So if you would, join me in prayer. Father, thank you so much for just your great love, grace, and mercy. It is such an honor and such a joy to be able to call you Father. You are perfect. You are transcendent in nature, high and holy and vast. And yet you are imminent, that you are with us to the point you call us your children, sons and daughters. And we can call you Father only because of what Jesus has done. And so Jesus, thank you for living, dying on the cross, resurrecting and ascending. Thank you for your blood that is the price to adopt us in and give us this new thing called the church, the family. And so God, I pray for us as parents, would you help us to lead our children in a way that is faithful, in a way that points to you in all things. I pray, God, that we would be a church that we value family, we value children, and we raise children up trusting you and loving you and depending upon you. God, I pray for those parents that are just really at the end of their rope right now. Would you give them strength? Would you give them endurance? God, I pray for those with great longings for child, and yet there is no child now. God, would you be with them in their longing? Would you make yourself so present in their longing? Jesus, thank you for the gift of this church. Thank you for your word. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.